It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Manesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Here's Shedd trying to drive a kick out left corner to Wilson. A three, good. Wilson hits the three off the assist by Shedd and a timeout by T.J. Otzelberger. And there's a big answer from Houston.
Yeah, Malik Wilson, just 2 of 11 from three in Big 12 play. But he just knocked that one down.
Yeah, that was quite a game last night. And the highlight, courtesy, of course, our outstanding partners at Learfield IMG College, the Cyclone Sports Network. As you heard it right here, Iowa State coming up short, 73-65 at Houston. What a snake pit it is playing at Houston. I think it was 14-0 that the Cougars improved to after that win over the Cyclones last night. And, you know, 73-65, it was a closely contested game. It was quite the rock fight in the first half before the defense kind of gave way a little bit. And both teams' offenses got going. I thought that both teams demonstrated they're at minimum top 10 teams this season in college basketball. I think there's a great case to be made that both teams demonstrated they're top 5 teams in the country right now. And so it was some top-shelf college basketball for sure last night. As you heard it right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, Iowa State at Houston, 73-65. Once again, the Cougars got that win. And I will say, just beyond the fact that it was a good game, the fact that Iowa State came up a little short, maybe turned it over a little bit. I mean, the game was so close and competitive that you feel like going through it with a fine-tooth comb and trying to point to any one thing is probably a little irresponsible when it comes to analyzing it and breaking it down. It's as simple as with two great teams like that, and they sure as hell seem to be great teams, that there's just a handful of moments or possessions. Doesn't even necessarily have to be possessions, especially with these teams being so good on the defensive end of the floor, that there's just on either end of the floor, 3 to 5 instances where if you don't execute or you don't find a way to get that loose ball or you don't find a way to slide your feet and get over there and wall up on the driving guard, that's the difference in the game. And that is when college basketball is at its finest. When you're like, both of these teams have played great, it just so happens one of them's got to win. And that was kind of my takeaway last night as Houston got that dub. But another thing I will say, and I can totally understand a certain takeaway from what I'm about to say, so I'll preface it by saying that I'm trying to offer this in the most measured way, non-partisan way possible. But Houston, by nature of being a defensive-first team and how their scheme works, they play as physical as any team I can remember. And I've been covering college basketball for a decade. And college basketball over the past decade has had initiatives or even downright rule changes to promote freedom of movement with its players, whether it's with the ball or without the ball. There's, you know, can't chuck cutters. You can't put your hand on the guy who's got the ball. You can't arm bar him anymore. There's the cylinder rule. And it just seems to me, and I think I brought this analogy up the first time Iowa State and Houston played. Actually, I know I did, even though Iowa State had won that game. So I think that's where you got to offer me some grace here. If you're an Iowa Hawkeye fan going, oh, Cole sounds like a big clone fan here. I had made the analogy in the first matchup, watching that game, seeing how physical Houston was, how physical Houston is, that it made me think of, it was an analyst or maybe even a player, I can't recall, that had said at one point about the Seattle Seahawks defense back when they were making it to the Super Bowl, when they had the Legion of Boom, right? Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Bobby Wagner, Michael Bennett, so on and so forth, right? That defense, known for its physicality, somebody had said at one point, well, you know, if you commit pass interference on every passing play that the opposing team runs, the referees can't call pass interference on every pass. Well, let that sink in a little bit, because I continue to exist in this area with Houston. And it's already not easy to like Houston because of their coach, Kelvin Sampson. Now, albeit a lot of what he did is now above board because of NIL, this guy is a multiple-time offender of NCAA rules. You know, there's a few more words I'd say, but I'm trying to keep, I don't want to get bogged down, okay, here. What I want to stay on point about Houston. And so making the analogy about the Legion of the Boom, the pass interference thing, where I ended up last night after that game was, you know, I get the great pleasure, and I try to remember to not take this for granted, of being able to sit courtside, not just at McLeod Center, but, you know, at the Knapp Center in Des Moines, at Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, numerous arenas, been able to sit courtside and cover college basketball, largely the UNI Panthers. And the game is different when you are that close to it. You certainly see things that you otherwise would not. And after that game last night, or as that game was playing itself out, and so many times Iowa State would drive to the hoop and Houston would wall up or, you know, contest, and there was not a foul called. And in my head, I'm like, oh, that's going to be a foul. And it wasn't. And I wasn't like sitting there screaming at the television. I wasn't at all. But that was just what went through my head more than once. And so I'm left with, I'd really like to sit courtside for a Houston game so I could draw a strong opinion, informed opinion, on whether or not I could come behind this mic afterwards and go, I think Houston's getting preferential treatment. I'm not sure why or how, but they're fouling other teams, and it's not getting called for one reason or another. Or, man, this team plays really sound defense, physical defense, and they really don't foul. It's really quite something. And I'm not sure that can be done watching them on television. So perhaps there's an Iowa State fan out there that was at Hilton Coliseum. But then again, you know, like I said, I'm not an Iowa State graduate. You know, I want Iowa State to do well. I'm not a fanatic. I want them to do well. I don't know where I would rank in terms of fandom. But if somebody was at Hilton Coliseum and is listening out there, and you're like, yeah, I was there, I'm an Iowa fan, or I was there, I'm a UNI fan, I was there, I'm a Minnesota fan, or, you know, I'm a whatever, name your team, and here's what I saw. But that's where I'm at with Houston. Short of being able to sit courtside for a Houston Cougars game, I don't know what to make of that defense of theirs. Whether or not they are playing top shelf, physical defense, not fouling, or if there's some preferential treatment going on, and if I sat courtside, I'd go, what the hell? I mean, there were 12 fouls that I counted that didn't get whistled. What's the deal here? So make of that what you will, Iowa State fans and college basketball fans, but that's the message that I wanted to get across today. After what was a good game, two great teams, and it'll be interesting to see how things shake out going forward and whether or not those two meet in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. But welcome in, a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. It is February 20 of 2024. I hope your Tuesday is going well. I am inside the Circus Sports studio. Make sure that you are following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear, or X, I guess I should say. Follow us on Facebook. Type in 1650 The Fan on the Zuck Machine. You'll find us. Hammer that like button, and you'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Go do it right now. I dare you. The website, bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. All sorts of local, statewide sports content there. Also national sports content, local, statewide news. The podcast of this show, today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute, our broadcast calendar, and a lot more. Bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. It'll get you that much more informed than strictly listening to this program or Mark Simpson between 6 and 8 every weekday morning on Maximum Mornings. Dial me up if you ever want to join the show with any questions or comments, perhaps on what I just talked about there, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could email the show if you'd rather do that than call. By all means, do so. Don't be shy. Questions or comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. We'll get to area sports news and scores in just a moment. A lot to get to in the stack. A lot of high school boys and girls postseason basketball going on. We'll get to all of it. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one. Get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this beautiful Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back in the second segment. David Eichel, friend of the show from HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network, will join us. We'll get David's latest out of his notebook on Iowa women's and men's basketball. Haven't spoken to him since Caitlin Clark broke the all-time points record, so looking forward, as always, to catching up with David. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back in the third segment, and another friend of the show, Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register. He covers Iowa State women's basketball. He's also the Register's Iowa Cubs beat reporter, connected on all levels to the Cubs franchise. So we're going to kill two birds with one stone when Tommy joins. We'll talk about Bill Finley's Iowa State team. We'll also talk about the Chicago Cubs and the phenomenon that is this Major League Baseball offseason that continues in full force here as spring training has begun. Everybody's there. Hitters and pitchers are there. So that's what's on the agenda today. After we're done with Tommy, of course, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up a Tuesday edition of the show. All right, so that is the plan, boys and girls. Let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores on a Tuesday. Boys high school tournament basketball continued last night. Sub-state quarterfinals in Class 3A and 4A. In a pair of 4A games that involved Metro teams, Iowa City Liberty ended Waterloo West season 66-51, and Waterloo East got a win at Cedar Rapids Washington 62-56. In Area 3A games, sub-state quarterfinals, second-ranked Waverly Shell Rock crushed Vinton Shellsburg 80-30, and Hampton Dumont edged Independence 68-67. The high school boys basketball postseason continues tonight with district finals in Class 1A and 2A and 1A district finals involving area teams. Waterloo Christian takes on top-ranked North Lynn at Independence. Dunkerton plays Maquoketa Valley at Olwine. And at Benton Community, Gladbrook Rhinebeck plays Kyoto. In Area 2A district finals at Waterloo East, second-ranked Hudson battles Jessup, and Grundy Center goes against Applington Parkersburg at Dyke New Hartford. A berth to the state tournament is on the line tonight for the Cedar Falls girls basketball team playing host to Cedar Rapids Prairie. A Class 5A girls basketball regional final. The 7th-ranked Tigers are 21-1. Cedar Rapids Prairie ranked 11th, 16-4. Cedar Falls won a hard-fought game, 52-47, at Prairie back on February 8th to clinch the MVC Mississippi Division. Tip-off is at 7 tonight. You can listen to this game on Cruising KCFI if you can't make it to Division Street. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan begins at 6:45. Several area girls teams beyond the Cedar Falls Tigers looking to punch their ticket to state tonight. Regional finals are taking place in Class 1A, 2A, and 4A. In an area 4A regional final, second-ranked Waverly Shell Rock plays host to 14th-ranked Western Dubuque. And in 2A games at Cedar Falls, number one-ranked defending state champion Dyke New Hartford plays Applington Parkersburg. At Marshalltown, 15th-ranked Denver plays second-ranked Panorama. And at Ballard, 9th-ranked Grundy Center goes against 8th-ranked Nottoway Valley. As we've talked about, second-ranked Houston took sole possession of first place in the Big 12 with that 73-65 win over 6th-ranked Iowa State last night. Cougars now 10-3 in the Big 12. Cyclones fall to 9-4. Houston never trailed, turned Iowa State over 16 times, turned that into 20 points. Keyshawn Gilbert led the Cyclones with 17. Clones out-rebounded Houston 39-30. Trey King and Curtis Jones added 13 apiece. Iowa State back in action Saturday at home against West Virginia. Meanwhile, the Iowa men's basketball team on the road tonight at East Lansing to take on Michigan State at Breslin Center. It's the only meeting between the two teams this season. The Hawkeyes have won 4 of the last 5 against the Spartans. Michigan State playing well. Spartans have won 13 of their last 17. Game time is at 6. Iowa forward Owen Freeman has been named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. It's the second consecutive week that he's won the award and the 9th time this season. Last week, he averaged 12.5 points, 10 rebounds, 3.5 blocks, and 3 assists. Shot 67% from the field. After breaking the NCAA's all-time scoring record, Caitlin Clark has earned another Big Ten Player of the Week award. It's the 9th time she has earned the honor this season, 27th time in her career. Against Michigan last week, when she broke the record, Caitlin Clark scored 49 points, dished out 13 assists, and grabbed 5 rebounds. For the second straight season, Iowa State football is looking for a new offensive coordinator. It was reported yesterday by Adam Schefter of ESPN that Nate Shielhouse has taken a job with the NFL's Los Angeles Rams as the pass game analyst. Shielhouse spent 6 seasons at Iowa State and was promoted to OC last season. In his first season, Iowa State improved offensively from 20 points a game in 2022 to 26 in 2023. The Clones also greatly increased their big play ability, scoring a nation's best 11 offensive touchdowns of over 50 yards. Speaking of Iowa State football, the Cyclones have announced the spring football game will take place on Saturday, April 20th at Jack Trice Stadium at 11 a.m. Admission is free. The game will conclude the team's spring drills, of course. Format of the game will be determined by the coaching staff later based on player availability. Iowa State returns 18 starters from last season's team, including Big 12 Offensive Rookie of the Year Rocco Becht, who threw for more than 3,000 yards and 23 touchdowns. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a VSiN action update, a national sports update, a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk Iowa men's and women's basketball with David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports. That's next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
Dodgers manager Dave Roberts made sure to note that things can change, but he did say that it's a safe bet that pitchers Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto will make starts in South Korea next month. Infielder Amer Rosario and the Tampa Bay Rays are in agreement on a one-year deal worth $1.5 million. In college sports, NCAA President Charlie Baker says he is not in favor of rules or federal laws that would place new limits on the way college athletes transfer between schools. College football playoff presidents unanimously approved changes to the 12-team playoff format to include the 5 highest-ranked conference champions plus the next 7 highest-ranked teams. Longtime Patriots special teamer and 10-time Pro Bowler Matthew Slater announced his retirement on social media after 16 seasons with the New England Patriots. And 2 adults have been charged with murder in last week's shooting after the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade.
Ride to work with Mark Simpson and Maximum Mornings, weekdays 6 to 8, right here on The Fan. You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan, broadcasting from the Circa Sports Studio.
The world's largest sports book is now available right at your fingertips in Iowa. Download your new bookie today with high betting limits, tight money splits, and exceptional customer service. The Circa Sports Iowa app. Visit CircaSports.com and get in on the action. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th, 2024 in order to attend kindergarten in the 2024-25 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from the following list: Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Once you call the school to let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student, the principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed registration forms are required for all incoming kindergarten students and must be turned in by March 30th to your school building. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. For more information or to download the forms, visit cfschools.org/parents/kindergarten_registration.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com.
Iowa Hawkeyes on the road at Michigan State today as a 9.5-point road underdog. Michigan State has won three consecutive games, a total 154 at the President Center in East Lansing. Iowa 2-7 on the road this year. Iowa State falls at Houston 73-65, but the Cyclones did cover the closing number of 8.5 points as they lose by 8 at the Fertitta Center in Houston against the Cougars, who take over first place in the Big 12. NHL yesterday, the Hurricanes over the Blackhawks 6-3 as a $3.80 home favorite. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 33 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the south 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 58. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 37. Lots of sunshine and dry Thursday and Friday. Mid-50s Thursday, mid-40s by Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Currently, it's 53 degrees.
You're listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6, right here on The Fan.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. I'm your host, Cole Bear, inside the Circus Sports Studio. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network, joins the program right now. Follow David on X at David Eicholt. Subscribe to Hawkeye Insider. And David, first things first, how you doing today, man? Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man, good to be talking to you. It's, I'm doing all right. It's been a busy little bit. I don't want to say things are starting to wind down a little bit, but no OC search. The wide receiver coach is in place. And it's kind of just Caitlin Clark mania, I think, at this point.
Cole. Yeah, it's time to be focused on basketball. It's late February, so I want to get your 2 cents first on what I talked about in the open, which is after Houston played Iowa State the first time, did you watch Houston-Iowa State last night?
I did, yes.
Okay. So after the first time Houston played Iowa State, and I know you've seen Houston outside of them playing Iowa State, they got that physical defense. And I made the analogy that it kind of reminded me of when somebody had said at one point about the Seattle Seahawks Legion of Boom, you know, if you commit pass interference on every passing play, the referees can't call pass interference on every passing play. And maybe to be a little bit more delicate this time around, because I didn't come away with a sour taste in my mouth last night, even though Iowa State came up short. I thought it was a great basketball game, great college basketball game. But what I was left with, David, was, and you've done this, I know it's not the case at Carver Hawkeye Arena, but you get to sit courtside quite frequently covering men's college basketball games when you do what we do. And what I was left with last night after watching that game was, man, there was a lot of times where I thought when Iowa State went to the basket that a foul would be called, and it wasn't called. Didn't make me yell at my screen, but by the time the game was over, I'm going, man, I would really like to sit close to the court like I do so many times covering college basketball so I could really get an informed opinion on whether or not I think Houston may be getting preferential treatment or if they are, in fact, just playing really good physical defense and not fouling. Do you see where I'm coming from with this?
Yeah, I do, and you're right. I mean, it is a different perspective when you're either behind the hoop or you're courtside. And, you know, it does bring up the interesting conversation because the way I always kind of approach it when it comes to officiating is, okay, who's driving to the basket? Who's trying to initiate the contact, et cetera, right? The flow of the game.
Yeah.
Iowa State was clearly being incredibly physical. They had 39 to 30 rebounds. They outrated them by 9. Houston shot 7 more three-pointers than Iowa State. Yet, Houston had 32 free throws, Iowa State had 15.
Right.
It was a good college basketball game, but I have watched Oklahoma drills with less contact than what I saw last night. And I'm happy it didn't turn into a free throw fest. And you're going to get a whistle, the home court whistle. That's kind of just inevitable. But you're right. I mean, it was an incredibly physical basketball game. I don't want to say it made or break. Didn't make and it didn't break the game. I thought Houston was just a tad more consistent throughout the night. Iowa State wasn't able to hit some big three-pointers, and I thought they had some opportunities.
Yeah.
They missed a couple of bunnies at the hoop. No, pretty point-blank ones that really were not fouls at that point, but I completely understand what you're talking about. Again, especially since both teams are trying to establish the inside, go hard at the hoop, but you know, Sneed's one of the best point guards in America. And he kept drawing fouls, especially in that second half. Mm-hmm. And then you watch Lipsy, you watch a couple other people drive in. They aren't getting too many of them.
And it makes you wonder about, you know, how might this look different or the same in the Big 12 tournament, or especially the NCAA tournament. And I just want to, like, be able to – I could just be a radio guy and have a hot take about it and come to the mic with it. But because I covered college basketball as a journalist – keeping a level head about it, trying to maintain objectivity, I'm like, man, I would just really like to watch Houston courtside so I could feel really good about what I'd like to say about it. So we'll see. And maybe there's more controversy to be had against other opponents. That'll be interesting to see down the stretch as the stakes of these games continue to rise in late February. But in the time we have left here, we got to talk Hawkeyes. We haven't caught up. Since Caitlin Clark broke Kelsey Plum's points record. She does it in Caitlin fashion, hits the logo three, scores the first 8 points, wastes no time. About as dramatic a way as she could have done it. So what was it like being there, David?
It was one of the most electric atmospheres I've ever been a part of, and that's going to be a core memory, I think, whenever I decide to close the laptop or the typewriter for the final time.
Yeah.
Because it was absolutely unbelievable. The whole aura of Carver Hawkeye Arena kind of brought you back to what Iowa fans would love it to be at, you know, what it was in the 80s and 90s, I'm sure. And it really seemed like, Cole, that everybody was anxious about Caitlin getting the record or when she would get it, except one person, Caitlin. Caitlin just went out there and played basketball. And it was just incredible. You knew right when she got that open look for that final three to pass Kelsey Plum. You knew right when she took it, she was going to make it. It was just one of those moments where every Iowa fan and every fan of Caitlin Clark, or even of just college women's basketball,
yeah,
it's going to be a moment 20 to 30 years from now where somebody will bring it up at a bar in a conversation, and everybody will know exactly where they watched it at, and kind of their mindset and what it was like to witness history. It was that special, I think, Cole.
Yeah, great point. And yeah, man, wish I could have been there in the building to see that. I also saw today that Caitlin Clark is now out-earning Colorado Buffaloes quarterback Shedeur Sanders in annual NIL earnings. It's like, what can't Caitlin Clark do at this point?
You know, the NIL valuations are very difficult to project, and quite frankly, I'm not going to say the site that has this because I don't want to throw anybody directly under the bus, but the fact that one website has her 38th among college athletes in NIL earnings tells me that the algorithm has a long ways to go for it to be accurate.
Good point. Now, when it comes to Caitlin and her teammates trying to find a way back to winning the Big Ten regular season championship, David, I think five games to go. They got a big game coming up against 14th-ranked Indiana. They will play Ohio State again. Can they do this?
They got went out, and the Indiana game is even more interesting considering they just got walloped by Illinois, who's a barely above 500 team this year. They got beat by 20 yesterday on primetime. So that's going to be a very motivated team. I know Terry Moore and Mackenzie Holmes, they take a lot of that stuff personally. I think there's a budding rivalry between Terry Moran and Lisa Bluter, and there's a lot of respect, but there's no doubt that they're going to want to get the best of Caitlin Clark and Lisa Bluter's Hawkeyes. They got to win out the regular season. Right now, it's Ohio State and Iowa, but Iowa really cannot afford another slip-up because I'll tell you, man, I don't think Ohio State's going to be slipping up. I think when they come and visit Carver Hawkeye Arena on March 3rd, I think it's going to be for the Big Ten title, and that atmosphere with Senior Day is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially not knowing whether or not Caitlin will be back. That place will be up for grabs, no doubt about it. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow David on X at David Eicholt. The few minutes we have left, David, let's talk about Fran McCaffrey's team. An impressive win on Saturday. Wow, you want to talk about dramatics. How about that one? An OT, 88-86 against Wisconsin. Badgers ranked 20th. What sticks out most to you about this game, or maybe what did that win tell you about Fran's team here in late February?
You know, they're not a tournament team, Cole, unless they somehow beat Michigan State tonight and they get another quad one win down the road, then maybe things get interesting. But it at least tells me there's a foundation for the future. I mean, Owen Freeman looks like he's going to be a budding all-conference star next season, right? He could be a national name. I think that kid's got so much upside on both ends of the floor. I believe he's only five blocks away from surpassing Chris Street's record for most blocks as a freshman, if that tells you anything there. Tony Perkins is continuing to play at an all-conference level as well. And I think you just kind of look up and down the list, like, you know, Iowa fans would love to be in the tournament this year. I think there's a lot of pent-up frustration. But I think they have a team that really doesn't quit, and they've been in these games. A couple different games go, if they can execute down the stretch and on offense, you know, maybe Iowa is an NCAA tournament team right now. Like, they're a lot closer than I think people think, just based on how we've seen some of these games play out. But I do think there's a strong foundation going into next year, assuming Iowa keeps all the pieces. Peyton Sanford, if he ends up coming back for another season, he is listed on a couple NBA mock drafts now. Price Sanford seems like he's starting to get it together as well. You know, there are pieces where, you know, if Fran makes one or two moves, brings in a couple good recruits next year, there's at least, I think, more optimism that's kind of developed here over the past couple of weeks about the future of the program.
And a final thought for me, I thought Josh Dix played really well against Wisconsin. Yeah. And I wonder if maybe myself and others included have misevaluated what his ceiling is. What do you make of Josh Dix's potential, David?
I mean, I think right now, outside of Owen Freeman, he's probably the best two-way player on Iowa. Because Tony Perkins, I still think, has a little bit of ways to go defensively. Mm-hmm. He's had some really good stretches, and he's been fantastic. Don't get it wrong. But I think over the past 2 weeks, I think Josh Dix has done a really good job on both ends of the court. I mean, I won't say anybody misevaluated him because remember, Cole, he had that devastating leg injury, that Paul George-like leg injury his senior year of high school, and it shocked everybody that he was even able to play last year. But he's just an incredibly skilled, high IQ guy who just always seems to know what Iowa needs. I mean, he reminds me seriously, Cole, of a guy that's a second or third year NBA player with his on-court IQ. He just does the right things. And if he can continue to shoot the ball well and kind of continue to build that confidence, that's only going to make Iowa better.
And they're at Michigan State tonight. I didn't see the spread on this game. I wish I would have looked it up, but what's your impression? And do you know what the spread is?
It's 9.5 right now in favor of Michigan State, which I thought was a little high. I do think that Michigan State has a chance. If Tyson Walker gets going early, you know, who knows? But we've seen how many times this season where Iowa gets down by 15 to 20 and they end up coming back to make it a game down the stretch. I don't think it'll necessarily come to that tonight. But it'll be very interesting to see how Iowa comes out on the road at the Breslin Center. They've done pretty well here over the past couple of years against Michigan State. I'm really intrigued to see if Owen Freeman and Pete can continue to get it going. But if Iowa goes out there and punches him in the mouth first, Michigan State has turned it around. But if Iowa wants to somehow make a tourney run, I think they know they need to win this game tonight.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. David, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time. Take care. We'll be following your coverage of tonight's game.
Hey, thanks, Cole. Appreciate you, bud. Take care.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network. Follow him on X at David Eicholt. Subscribe, HawkeyeInsider.com. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up during the break on the other side. We'll talk some Iowa State women's basketball, some Cubs baseball. Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register joins us next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa Hawkeye men are on the road tonight in the Big Ten to play Michigan State. The Hawkeyes are 7-8 in conference play, and Coach Fran McCaffrey says turnovers against the Spartans will be costly. And the key for the Hawkeyes is taking care of the basketball.
You know, you have to be able to execute your stuff. You have to be able to rebound. You have to be able to move the ball and get good shots without turning it over. Because if you turn it over against them, it turns into points. It's not like you can get your defense back. They're gone.
The Hawkeyes are 15-11 overall. Michigan State's won 5 of the last 6. The Spartans are 9-6 in conference play, 17-9 overall. Drake guard Kevin Overton has been named the Missouri Valley Conference Freshman of the Week for the 4th time this season. Overton averaged 19 points and 3 rebounds in 2 victories last week. The Bulldogs are 13-3 in Missouri Valley Conference play and will host Belmont tomorrow night. This is Radio Iowa.
Are you having a hard time finding ag podcasts? We can help. The podcast directory at agriamerica.com allows you to search by category and topic so it's quick and easy to find what you're looking for. Ag Chicks, Farm for Profit, Heart of Rural America, The Shark Farmer Podcast, Real Ag Radio, and more are featured on AgriAmerica. Our extensive directory has something for everyone. Discover a new ag podcast today by visiting agriamerica.com. That's agriamerica.com.
Can you imagine what it must be like to have nowhere to turn as a young teen? This happens when parents struggle with addiction, may be incarcerated, or unable to care for their child. And it's devastating. HALO is the foundation of a family for children without one, surrounding them with support, meeting their basic needs, and helping them set and reach their goals. With your support, homeless youth are given a chance at a better life. Go to haloworldwide.org today.
Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. Style your home with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains Ultra Interior Paint and Primer. It provides good coverage and a durable, washable finish that's easy to clean. It's perfect for any interior project. Get a gallon of Ultra Interior Paint starting at $9.97 after $10 rebate. Good through February 21st. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, this is Cole Bear, host of Cole & Company for Circus Sports. This week, I've got my eye on Saturday night's Missouri Valley Conference men's basketball showdown between the UNI Panthers and Drake Bulldogs. I'm going to make my wager no place other than the world's largest sports book in Las Vegas, Circus Sports. The Circus Sports app is now available in Iowa and offers sports betting the way that it should be. Circus Sports doesn't limit players based on their winnings, and instead of paying the book minus 115 or minus 120 splits, Circus strives for minus 110 splits on straight bets and on parlays. I'm telling you, Circus Sports really is sports betting the way that it should be. Not to mention best-in-class customer service with no chatbots. Visit CircusSports.com and download the app now and join me, Cole Bear, on the world's largest sports book. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
Hi, this is Andrew Kaler from Denver Insurance. Life is complicated. Your insurance shouldn't be. Why not simplify it with policy bundling? Grinnell Mutual and Denver Insurance give you lower rates for each policy when you bundle your home and auto insurance together. It's a one-and-done solution, and that's a win-win. Make your life easy with bundled insurance so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Denver Insurance today.
You're listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
And you're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, weekdays 5 to 6.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, joins us now. Make sure you're following Tommy on X at Tommy Birch. And with Tommy coming on, I'm reminded of a couple things because we're going to talk Iowa State women's basketball, also some Cubs baseball. Cyclone Coach's Corner, as a result of last night's men's basketball game at Houston, tonight here on The Fan from 6:30 to 8, the Cyclone Coach's Corner. Also, looking at the whiteboard here in the Circus Sports studio, just 37 days until the Chicago Cubs regular season opener right here on The Fan at defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. That is Thursday, March 28th. And the man, Tommy Birch, joins us now. Tommy, thanks for being here. How are you?
I am lovely. It is so good to hear from you. It seems like forever.
I know. It's been a minute. You've had a thing or two going on, so I really appreciate your time. And how about we start with the Iowa State women's basketball team? You've had, like usual, outstanding coverage of Bill Finley's team this year. And I would imagine, Tommy, that from where you sit and the job that you do and knowing the job myself, that, yeah, sure, they would like a few more wins, the players, the staff, the fans. But this has probably been a really fun, captivating team to cover, a really young team that's had some really big wins.
Definitely been entertaining. I mean, and kind of like what you had said, there have been so many good storylines, so many new players. But really an unexpected season, too. I think when we looked at Iowa State's roster, we saw all the talent that Iowa State had coming in with such a big, you know, recruiting class, possibly the most decorated recruiting class in school history, though I would say it maybe not quite on par when it comes to, you know, the one with Emily Ryan, Lexi Janarski, and some of those type of players, but still really good, one or two, you know, maybe 1A, 1B, whatever. But the way we looked at it was like, okay, it's really talented, but there are so many holes to fill when it comes to this Iowa State roster. And that kind of led me to believe that, like, okay, all these young players, they're going to get a lot of playing time. They're going to be thrown into the deep end. There are going to be times that we see them play really, really well, but then there are going to be stages where we see that youth kind of poke its head up at Iowa State, and they struggle throughout times. Now, I think when it comes to this season, we have seen much more of the promise and the potential, more than I thought we would see a season, and it's resulted in Iowa State suddenly becoming part of the NCAA tournament picture, something I really did not expect to see heading into this season. We fully expected it to be a rebuilding season, and that was before, like, all of the departures that Iowa State had. But the fact that they're in the postseason picture is pretty wild.
Yeah, what's that say about Coach Finley and his staff? Because he had these, you know, veteran teams with a star player in Ashley Jones for a number of years, and then the script just flipped in terms of the roster makeup. And like you just said, they're right there in the hunt for the NCAA tournament.
It shows that they're adaptable, and it certainly shows that they're patient, too. I mean, look, they've been very patient when it comes to this group, where even though there have been so many of those bright moments, there have been those tough stretches. One of them was where they lost 5 of 6 games and really – so, you know, at one point, Iowa State was at the top of the Big 12 conference standing and looked like it was going to be a lock in the NCAA tournament. I still think Iowa State gets to the NCAA tournament, but it's probably going to come with some deep breathing on Selection Sunday. That's not going to be absolutely assured like it probably was at one point, but dropping 5 of 6 kind of dropped them from the top of the Big 12 standings, kind of made that NCAA picture a little bit blurrier. Mm-hmm. And I think just how some of those losses transpired were probably frustrating for any coach, where you're talking about turnovers, like 18, 19, 20 turnovers, missed free throws, just silly things like that, stuff that you kind of anticipate from a young team. But the fact that Iowa State has been able to rebound and ended up putting up a victory over a top 10 team in K-State shows that, like, okay, wow, they can weather some storms. I think that's where I've been the most impressive part of the young team is they really don't seem to be fazed by much. You know, the big moments. They've had gigantic games this year where, they took down K-State. They beat the top 10 team in Baylor. They hung with Iowa for most of the night in Ames. So it's a team that even when they struggle, they don't lose confidence, which is a pretty good thing when you're talking about growth, development, and in the future of the program moving forward and the type of years that these type of players can have moving forward.
They've been a treat to watch. I did not anticipate the amount of times that I was going to come home and flip them on ESPN Plus this season. And that's what's happened, Tommy. And I think I'm speaking for a lot of people. And Bill Finley's team back in action tomorrow night at Houston. We'll have that game here on The Fan, a 6:30 pregame and a 7 o'clock tip. And we'll shift gears now. Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, our guest. Follow him on X at Tommy Burch, along with Iowa State women's basketball beat coverage. Tommy does a great job covering the Iowa Cubs. The baseball season almost here, like I talked about at the top of the segment. Tommy connected at all levels of the Cubs organization, and the offseason has entirely bled into spring training, Tommy, as teams have completely reported to either Arizona and Florida. All four of those Scott Boras free agents, and other Scott Boras free agents for that matter, but the big four are all still out there. It's been quite some time since we talked about this. What do you make of this? Because I was asking you however long ago and kind of insinuating or downright saying, I think Scott Boras has perhaps overplayed his hand here and maybe his ego's gotten in the way. And I was texting you a little bit about it last night. So with the clarity of the additional weeks since we last spoke, where are you at on this, given how you're plugged in, given what you know, and just maybe your take as it influenced it as well as a baseball guy?
Yeah, I think you're right to a certain degree where he probably has kind of overplayed his hand, and some of the rumblings, some of the reports, and some of the things we're hearing, at least when it comes to a guy like Cody Bellinger and what he is asking and realistically what the market is willing to pay, seems like miles and miles apart. Now, you know, I would say when it comes to, what Scott Boras has out there in terms of free agent clients that they're still waiting to land with teams, you know, he doesn't have like that marquee free agent right now that like, wow, that's holding up the market, or wow, that's going to be the guy that like the missing piece to this championship team. Now, not to take away anything from Cody Bellinger and the Cubs, you know, obviously Cody Bellinger would make the Cubs a gigantically better team, but he's not like the marquee piece, the total, you know, he's not the guy that you're marketing the club around, that you're all eyes are focused on. So, but it's almost like Scott Boras is treating some of these free agents that I wouldn't say, you know, they aren't marquee free agents. They aren't like top tier free agents. They're probably second and third tier free agents, but he's trying to get them paid like those top tier free agents. So when he has those top, you know, your free agents like the Juan Sotos of the world, I think Boras is a Soto guy too. He can really upplay that market, and that's going to be a tough task. Now, when it comes to these situations, and you don't have that guy that like, wow, every team is just clamoring to get. You don't have teams, betting against each other, just driving up the hand. And I think you're seeing it like the Cubs were. It's like, okay, you want to have Cody Bellinger on your team. You want to have him in your lineup and in the outfield. But the grand scheme of things, their team is still going to go on. They have other options in case it does not pan out. You want him there. You probably need him there. But it's not going to be the make or break signing, I think, for the Cubs. Now, having said that, still think Cody Bellinger ends up being with the Chicago Cubs at some point.
Well, that's good to hear. And
that's all you wanted to hear. That's why you had me.
Well, yes and no, but I do feel like Scott Boras's ego needs checked. And it's not because I've ever had it out for Scott Boras. It's certainly not because I'm, you know, hoping Tom Ricketts gets to spend less money. Hell no. But he does.
This is kind of a lose-lose, or, you know, kind of maybe a win-win situation for you, because I think, you know, it's like obviously the spending habits of, you know, it's really a tough situation if you're a Cubs fan, because I think a lot of Cubs fans can look at it like, okay, if somebody else is going to give Cody Bellinger $200 million, I think Cubs fans are going to be like, fine, you know, I understand why Tom Ricketts wasn't going to pay that. But if somebody is willing to pony up $125 million and the Cubs aren't willing to do that, I think that's where you start getting upset as a Cubs fan. Like, what, we can't dish out $125 million for Cody Bellinger? The thing is, I just don't know if we get from point A to point B, and point A is $200 million, and point B is $125 million.
Yeah, good point. All we can do is wait. Tommy, I got to run, man. Great to talk to you. Take care, all right?
You hang in there, Cole. I'm hoping just for you, Cody Bellinger ends up as a Cub, that works out well for me. PCA ends up in Des Moines, man.
There we go. More clicks for Tommy's story. I'm always for that. Take care, my man.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Got to take this time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Patrick Claibon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. It appears the Steelers have a big decision to make about their quarterback situation this offseason. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is reporting there could be some internal division within the organization about whether Mason Rudolph should be the starter over Kenny Pickett based on his success down the stretch in 2023. Rudolph started and won all three of the team's final regular season games and led the Steelers to the playoffs after Pickett went down with an ankle injury. Rudolph set to become an unrestricted free agent. Meanwhile, the Patriots have decided to part ways with defensive tackle Lawrence Guy and safety Adrian Phillips, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Guy joined the Patriots as a free agent in 2017, and Phillips in 2020. Both appeared in all 17 games for New England last season. And the Ravens signed wide receiver Nelson Aguilar to a one-year contract extension. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hi, this is Norm Johnson, CEO of the Family YMCA of Black Hawk County. The YMCA annual Strong Kids campaign kicked off this February in volunteers raising funds for families here in our community. Please consider a thoughtful gift that will help youth in programs like swimming, sports, childcare, and health and well-being. Though the world may be unpredictable, one thing remains certain. The Y will always be dedicated to building healthy, confident children, families, and communities. Your Family YMCA, more than a gym.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Throughout the history of the NFL, special team stars have helped change multiple historic games. How about Adam Vinatieri, crucial to the Patriots' success? Devin Hester became a game changer throughout his time as a return specialist with Chicago. He produced one of the greatest moments in Super Bowl history, taking the opening kickoff back 92 yards for a touchdown. Receiving a gold jacket for contributions on special teams is rare, but in today's NFL, somebody trying to emulate Hester's success, that will prove difficult. In attempts to make the game safer, the NFL has incentivized players not to return kicks or punts. And on the league's biggest stage, the Super Bowl, we saw very limited action due to the new rules. The changes eliminate the most dangerous play in sport, but unfortunately, that could eliminate the development of superstars. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also got rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cashback on everyday purchases. Plus, you're not charged any account fees, period. Whether you're moving, starting a new job, or headed into that next stage of your life, whatever it is, Discover Cashback Debit is for everyone. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
The last game, they were really physical with us in terms of just how they played. And again, I think the fact that we just faced them a couple weeks ago, I think they have a little better understanding of what they're going to face. And hopefully, you know, even last time when we played them, it took us a little bit to kind of adapt, get going with the game, and hopefully, you know, this time around, nothing's going to be a surprise in that aspect, and we're ready to go from the start.
That is the voice of Cedar Falls High School girls basketball coach Greg Grohn, previewing tonight's regional final, Class 5A regional final against Cedar Rapids Prairie. You win, you go to the state tournament. If you can't make it to the game, you can listen on Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage with Dave Finnegan begins at 6:45. Tip-off at 7. Cyclone Coach's Corner here on The Fan tonight from 6:30 to 8. Enjoy your night. Thanks to Tommy Birch and David Eicholt. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.